Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. I want to apologize. Last week, we had a lot of technical difficulties, and, I did the show, live, and it was bananas. So I apologize to you for those who tuned in. Was expecting to hear a show, and all you got was muffled 30 minutes. So we're back now. Issues have been resolved, so I'm glad to be back. So I want to get right into the show this evening. As you know, every week when I do this show, I like to highlight small businesses and the great work that they're doing, because as I said last week, that you didn't hear, was that small businesses are truly the backbone of America's economy. And more than ever, with this pandemic, we have to be more supportive of them. This week's highlight is the organization called Do It for Love. And Do It for Love was created by Ms. Alexia King. And the mission of Do It for Love is to give people a place to share and promote what they do or have done for love. Do It for Love sells great merchandise, casual, inspirational clothing and accessories. I have some of the accessories, the clothing, and I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, great quality. I love what they do. I love the shirts. They're great fitting. And like I said, this first rate, high grade quality merchandise. But another unique quality of this great program is Do It for Love supports entrepreneurs and help them promote their brand in the process. So here's an organization, a small business that promotes their great services, but they also promote other entrepreneurs. Products. And when you rarely see that, if ever, definitely not from like big businesses, that you don't see that, just doesn't happen. So this company is so magnificent. And if you want more information about this phenomenal company, as I said, Lexa King is the creator of this great program. You can contact her at 215-645-2206. That's 215-645-2206. You can also email her at forlovetees@gmail.com. That's the number 4, LOVETEES@gmail.com. Or you can visit the website, doitforlove.life. That's doitforlove.life. Do me a favor, ladies and gentlemen. Do it for love and support this magnificent company. Also, ladies and gentlemen, as some of you may be aware, I published my 7th book. It came out in January. It's entitled A War on All Fronts, Revisited, 2005 to 2020. It's available, and you would be doing me a great honor if you purchase a copy. A War on All Fronts, Revisited, 2005-2020. Basically, it is the second installment of the first book that I first penned back in 2005, A War on All Fronts. This book talks about what African Americans have endured, what we have accomplished, and how farther we must go to achieve other goals that we have in mind over the last 15 years. As I said, A War on All Fronts Revisited 2005 to 2020 is available, and you will be doing me a great service if you purchase a copy. You can go to www.anthonyjohnsonbooks.net. That's www.anthonyjohnsonbooks.net. You won't be disappointed. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening's episode of the Anthony Johnson Show, I'm going to talk about the Republican Party and why the Republican Party is no longer the party of Abraham Lincoln. I know that you've been hearing this week that after Joe Biden won, and became president, and Kamala Harris became vice president. When they sat down, when all the experts in politics and voting sat down and started really looking at the numbers closely, they realized one thing. They realized that Joe Biden wouldn't have become president of the United States had it not been for the African-American vote, as well as other black and brown groups in this country. But definitively, the African-American vote. So you see what we have here in this country over the years, over the decades, is that the Republican Party has done everything in its power to make voting more difficult for people of color, especially for black people. So after this loss, what they have done, and they do this every time they lose, they sit down and they create laws to make it even more difficult for black and brown people to vote. So because Donald Trump and the Republicans alike talked about this was a fraud, that Donald Trump actually won, they say, let's make it more difficult for black and brown people to vote, because black and brown people went out in large numbers and voted, despite Jim Crow voting suppression laws put in place. So they go, oh, black people, you need to have several pieces of ID. You got to vote on this particular day. You can't vote on this day. You can't do none of these things. And the goal was, it will frustrate black people to say, it's not worth it, I'm not going to do it. This is a big fact that many of us should know but don't know. When the voter turnout in this country at every level of government, when the voter turnout is low, Republicans win. When the voter turnout is high, Democrats win. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. So when Donald Trump and his minions kept talking about, hey, we got over 74 million votes and we lost. Yeah, you lost because President Biden got 81 million. Had black people not gone out and voted, it would have actually been close to a tie. It probably would have been in the hands of the Supreme Court once again, as it was in Al Gore versus Bush in 2000. But because African Americans made sure that they had all the documentation that we needed legally, went out and voted en masse, Donald Trump didn't just lose, he got clobbered. So years after year after year after year, it shows that when Republicans lose an election, the first thing they say, well, it had to be voter fraud. We looked at the numbers and all these African Americans went out and voted. It has to be voter fraud. So now we have to make the laws more stringent. These are nothing but Jim Crow laws to keep black people from voting. This is all that is. Once again, instead of the Republican Party reaching out to black and brown people, especially black people, they say, well, we'll never get their vote, but let's make it so that they can't vote. So we're dealing with this now. In Arizona, a law is before the Supreme Court, and it's kind of it's scary because the Supreme Court might vote in favor of these more stringent rules, so that black people, it'd be make it more difficult. So black people vote on Sundays, you know, bring their souls to the polls. Well, Arizona wants to get rid of that. And what's going to happen is if the Supreme Court vote in favor of this law in Arizona, then other states that are controlled by Republican government officials will then do the same thing. They will file laws to say, yeah, we have to do something about that. But here's the crazy thing. As soon as African Americans say, okay, we see the laws, we see what we need to go out and do, and they go out and do it, oh, we got to stand in long lines again, we got to do this, do that. We will go out and do what it is. Everything that these Jim Crow laws are saying, if the Supreme Court vote in favor of them, which there is a good chance it will, and we go out and do everything that these laws tell us to do, and we vote en masse again, Republicans lose again, then they're going to say they were cheating again. We have to make the laws even tougher. So as long as the Republicans win, then there's no voter fraud. As soon as they lose, it's, oh, the black vote. All those 60 lawsuits that Trump and his minions had filed right after the election, none of them had anything to do with predominantly white suburban areas that vote, that with the high turnout, voter turnout. They were talking strictly about black and brown communities. That's all the lawsuits targeted. They said black and brown communities are the ones that we're focused on, because there is no way, this was their thinking, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way that all these black and brown people went out and voted and they voted legally. Of course they did. Of course we did. Of course we did. But every time the Republicans lose, every time they lose, they come up with new ways to keep black people from voting. And it's frustrating. And you should be outraged. You should be outraged. They even have in this law, if you don't vote in an election, let's say like the 2022 election comes up and black people don't vote, then they're taken off the rolls. So the next go around, they can't vote. They have to go through this stringent a process again just to get the opportunity to vote. But 9 out of 10, they're not going to vote because they'll say, you're asking me too much. They're asking for too much. They're not doing that in white communities. Only black and brown communities. This is racism at its worst. They're not even hiding it. One lawyer in the lawsuit for Arizona said, if we can get these people to not vote, we win. So they're not even hiding their racism anymore, ladies and gentlemen. So we have to fight. We all have to step up and fight this. And it's a shame that in 2021, we're still having this discussion. In the days after the January 6th attack on the Capitol, the phone lines and websites of local election officials across the country were jumping. Tens of thousands of Republicans were calling or logging on to switch their party affiliation. In California, more than 33,000 registered Republicans left the party during the 3 weeks after the Washington riot. In Pennsylvania, more than 12,000 voters left the GOP in the past month, and more than 10,000 Republicans changed their registration in Arizona. This is why they're doing this with these voter laws, because they're scared that after the riots, registered loyal Republicans said, I've had enough. When you guys up there on Capitol Hill are co-signing to treasonous, seditious acts and not holding the people accountable, I can't be a part of that. So what these guys are trying to do is they're trying to bring these individuals back into the fold. All these thousands upon thousands of people going from Republican to independent. An analysis of January voting records by the New York Times found that nearly 140,000 Republicans had quit the party in 25 states that had readily available data. Voting experts said that the data indicated a stronger than usual flight from a political party after a presidential election, as well as the potential start of a damaging period for GOP resignations as voters recoil from the Capitol violence and its fallout. So even hardworking Americans, conservatives, even they were sickened by it. They were sickened by it, as we all should have. Yet you still have elected officials that say, oh, it wasn't Donald Trump supporters. It was Antifa. It was Black Lives Matter members. Ladies and gentlemen, you already know about Black Lives Matter. Had that been Black Lives Matter members, that happened on January 6th, they would still be taking the bodies out of the Capitol, the dead bodies out of the Capitol of black people. Despite everything, I was having this conversation with someone recently. I said, despite all the mistreatment that this country has done to black people, never, Never have we tried to take over this government. Never have we engaged in treasonous, seditious acts. Never. But these individuals that did these Trump supporters who felt like they didn't get their way, this is what they wanted to do. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, you know, I have listeners and viewers from all around the world, and they have said the same thing. That was white privilege at its highest. Because you know, and I know, that had that been black and brown people trying to storm the Capitol, the police would still be shooting. More than 50 days later, they still be shooting. Like, you know, everybody dispersed now. You know, those individuals are dead, and, you know, and you still shooting? Ain't nobody on those steps? Among those who recently left the party was a gentleman by the name of Juan Nunez, 56, an Army veteran in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, right here. He said he had long felt that the difference between the United States and many other countries was the campaign season when it ended. On election day, all sides would peacefully accept the results. The January 6th riot changed that, he said. The biggest spike in Republicans leaving the party came in 3 days after January 6th, especially in California. In Arizona, there were 233 Republican changes in 5 days of January and 3,317 in the next week. Most of the Republicans in these states and others switched to unaffiliated status. And ladies and gentlemen, they're not coming back. This party, this Republican Party, is over. Yes, they will still exist because America still believes in a two-party system. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Because you have a two-party system. At some point in time, one of those parties is going to go rogue. One of those parties are going to truly believe that they should run this country, that there should be no other party. Say what you want about Donald Trump. Failed businessman, failed individual in life, an imbecile, an idiot, a racist, a ding-a-ling, a buffoon. But he saw something back in 2014. He saw that the Republican Party was ripe for the picking. A year before he announced his candidacy, he saw it. He said, you know what? I can take this party over, because he saw what they wanted to do. He saw that that party wanted America to become a fascist state. He saw it. He saw the people. He talked to everyday people who felt this way about America. We don't need a two-party system. You know, we should just have one party political system. He saw all that. He talked to people who had this sick idea. Think about the people he beat that were supposed to be unbeatable. Rubio, Cruz, Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush was basically the guy. And he didn't just beat those guys. He eviscerated them. He destroyed them. So he knew. He saw it. And if you paid attention in history class, history has shown that two-party systems around the world is dangerous, because at one point in time, one of those parties are going to go rogue. One of those parties is going to believe that they can do better without any competition. People say, oh, that's a good point, Anthony, the Nazis. We're not talking about the Nazis. The Nazis are the easy one. It's right there in front of you. I mean, hell, people talk about Adolf Hitler every day. You turn on the channels, they're doing something on Hitler every day. Other countries were doing the same thing, and that's why they fell prey to it, because they had a two-party system. And before the Nazis took over, it wasn't a two-party system in Germany. There were multiple political parties, which actually was helping the country. Despite the Great Depression, years have shown that multiple political parties was good for a country. So this Republican Party now, this party of not Lincoln, they're dead on arrival. Oh, sure, they're going to still be around, ladies and gentlemen. They're not going to disappear. I mean, can we be honest here? They're not going to disappear. But we realize what they are now. They don't care about America. The members don't care about you. The members don't care about me. The members don't give a rat's behind about America. They care about their political party. You saw that this weekend. Not one Republican voted. Not one. That's right. That's including Mitt Romney and the other elected officials on the Republican side who don't like Trump but still told the line. People in this country, hardworking Americans, everyday Americans need help desperately. And not one Republican voted in favor for the stimulus bill. It took all the Democrats to get it done. What can they go out and say? What can they say? Of course they're going to go on the right-wing news and say, oh, well, the American people what? Even governors, Republican governors said, we need that stimulus package. The governors, Republican governors said, we need that stimulus package. We need it. Our people need it. We're suffering. We need it. Right now they can't say anything. They're figuring out how to spin it, but after a while, you can only spin BS for so long. After a while, people get hip to the game. And that's what's happened. That's what's happening. Other states remove inactive voters, decrease voters, or those who move out of states from all parties and lump these people together with voters who change their own registration. So this is some of the stuff that the Republicans are doing. The voter rolls often change from presidential elections when registrations sometimes shift toward the winner's party, or people update their old affiliation to correspond to their current paid party preferences, often at a Department of Motor Vehicles. Of the 25 states surveyed by the New York Times, Nevada, Kansas, Utah, and Oklahoma had combined such voter list maintenance with registration changes, so their overall totals would not be limited to changes that voters made themselves. Other states may have done so as well, but did not indicate in their public data. Now, just to be fair, among Democrats, 79,000 left the party since early January. But here's their reason why for leaving. They believe the Democratic Party isn't doing enough for the middle class, the working poor, and the poor. They're not leaving the party because they don't, you know, they think that they're trying to take over the country. They're leaving the party. They left the party because they feel that the Democrats don't do enough and that they allow themselves to be bullied by the Republican Party when the Democrats are in control. Now, this weekend, vote by the Democrats showed those individuals that, you know, we're listening to the people, the American people that voted for us that said, we're going to give you an opportunity to go in and do some good because the Republicans have failed. Are you going to allow yourself to get bullied yet again, or are you going to go in here and do what needs to be done? But the tone at the Capitol and the historic unpopularity of former President Trump have made for an instantly fluid period in American politics. Many Republicans denounced the pro-Trump forces that rioted on January 6th, and 10 Republican House members voted to impeach Trump. Sizable numbers of Republicans now say they support key elements of President Biden's stimulus package, but as I said, ladies and gentlemen, they supported key aspects of it, but none voted for it. So today, ladies and gentlemen, the Republicans are the party of anti-America, American carnage, Russian collusion, of scams, plots, and weapon-grade contempt for the rule of law. The only decent, sensible, and position is to vote against the Republican Party at every level and bring the sad final days of a once great political institution to an end. It used to be a good party because, remember, history says, hey, it was the Republican Party that had all the abolitionists, who fought to end slavery, while the Democrats were the Southern Dixiecrats who said, oh, slavery's good. Slavery's good. But that party is dead. I've said in previous shows, if Ronald Reagan was alive today, he would say, do not mention my name in this political party in the same breath. I am absolutely embarrassed, even though Reagan was once a Democrat. Yeah. The only decent, sensible thing to do is let this party come to its end and move on. Let's think about having other more meaningful political parties take their place, like the Progressives, the Green Party. Let the media start giving them the type of press that they've given the Republicans and Democrats for decades. And who are we kidding? There really isn't a need to try to rebuild the Republican Party, because another Trump will come along who is more intelligent, smoother, and we'll have the Republicans prostitute their integrity once more. So why waste the time, right? It's a waste of their time. Bottom line is the Republican Party is not worth saving. I'll say that again. The Republican Party that is no longer of Abraham Lincoln is not worth saving. No one, no political party should ever get a second chance to destroy the Constitution and America's wounded democracy. On January 6th, we'll always remember where we were when a Republican Party stood by and watched it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning into this show. As always, it's my privilege and my honor to bring you great material and information that you may not have an opportunity to catch up with because you have, productive lives and you have to do so much. So it brings me great joy to be able to bring it to you. As I said earlier, please, if you can, support Do It For Love, this great, great organization. Do It For Love. You can, again, the information again is 215-645-2206. Email forlovetees@gmail.com and website is doitforlove.life. And please support my book as well. I end this show with this edition of We Can Be the Outcome. Two weeks ago, America reached a horrific milestone as 500,000 Americans have died from COVID. Just think, if the former worst president this nation has ever produced had focused his attention to addressing this plague instead of swimming in election conspiracies and inciting a seasonous riot at the Capitol, what we could have done and how many lives would have been spared. To my more than 500,000 brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, grandparents, cousins, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors, Black, white, Latino, Asian, Native American, LGBTQ+, Baptist, Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, Taoism, Judaism, agnostic, Jehovah's Witness, rich, middle class, working poor, and poor. You will never be forgotten. I love you. Good night.